Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Vince Gutierrez from movementthinker.org. I'm going to give you a quick recap of what's been happening. I've taken some time away from the podcast, and that's fine. You know, life happens. I have four kids. We spent some time in Poland, you know, helping out my brother-in-law on the farm, visiting family and friends. My one daughter had pretty serious accident while she was there, and she had to be hospitalized. So life was chaotic for a while. You know, the kids are back in school, and life is still kind of chaotic. You know, four kids, life is never simple, right? So today I'm going to be talking about, you know, essentially HR 101. This comes from the Impact Magazine from August of 2016. I'll give what my thoughts were back then, and if they've changed since. So, you know, in 2016, I was still working as an employee in a hospital at Payless Community Hospital, now Northwestern Medicine. And after 2016, I left and, you know, managed my own clinics and opened my own clinics and did my own thing. And now back in 2022, I'm back to working for a hospital, University of Chicago at Ingalls. So perspectives have changed a lot since 2016. And we'll see if there's anything here that I want to add in. So I'll be reading what I wrote back in 2016 and then just chiming in with different experiences and attitudes. So the first quote is, "We must recognize that each one of our employees comes to us with a unique personality and a backlog of experiences that will influence the way they work." Holy smokes, as a business owner, that takes on a completely different meaning for me. Right? You have to hire your personality, right? And gosh, you know, when I was managing the clinics, I specifically wanted to see one of a couple of things on a person's resume, you know, especially if they're a front desk person. You know, do you have Starbucks experience? Do you have Costco experience? Because, man, they do a great job of training customer service. And it would have made my job so much easier. I hired one rock star front desk person. I won't name her because she doesn't know I'm talking about her, but rock star, right? All the way through. I saw her resume. She had experience with Starbucks, and I was sold, right? And I joked with her about that this whole, you know, all the years that she worked there. But that was the reason I hired her, was Starbucks. And she was a fantabulous hire. Her ability to communicate with people was great. She was awesome on the phone. I never had to worry about work ethic with her. She would always get the job done. So, yeah, I personally tried to hire personality and experiences more so than just looking at them and do they meet the qualifications. Because, you know, obviously if they're coming into me, they should meet the qualifications, right? Whether they're coming in as a PT, front desk person, aide, what have you. They should meet the qualifications to be able to do the job. Now, what experiences and trainings have you had to help you excel at this job? All right. So now I'm going to read what I wrote back in 2016. This is going to be eye-opening for me. "My experience at Sam's Club plays a large role in my choices as a physical therapist." That's true. Sam Walton was still alive during my first years working for the company. There were some major rules that we had to follow as employees of Sam's Club. And I still remember watching this video and getting hammered with this the first couple of days there. The first is the 10-foot rule. This means that anytime I come within 10 feet of a Sam's Club member, a member is like a customer there, I must make eye contact and acknowledge that person. It seems simple to just to give a hello, but we all know that customer service is lacking in so many companies. And I would say, you know, not to trash them, but I've been to Sam's Club since, and I don't think they follow that 10-foot rule anymore, because I've been within 10 feet of employees, and they definitely aren't saying hi to me. But that was something that I enjoyed doing. I'm a people person, so I really like going out there and talking to members and seeing if I could help them in any way. Customer service is the reason we are doing what we do. Without the customer, we have no income. In healthcare, we can substitute the word customer with the word patient. And you know what? It's funny. Nowadays, they don't even substitute the word customer with patient. It's just customer. Without the patient, I have no income. I need to ensure that the patient is well taken care of. And that starts just by acknowledging that the patient is a person. Yeah, that's another thing that's lacking. You know, patients are, patients are widgets, you know, how many widgets can you make in an hour? How many patients can you see in an hour? How many patients can you see in a day, depending on where you go? And then I've harped on this many times, but I'll keep going. Depending on where you go, the patient feels like a number, and I hear it. You know, I've heard it in my conversations with people outside of the clinic. I hear it with I just heard it this week. You know, I felt like a number. You know, I was just there to make sure the therapist got paid, and that's not cool. You know, if you're the patient, you want to be taken care of as a person, right? You want to be seen as a person, you know, with your own unique set of person. and be treated like so, not like everybody else, you know. And that specifically came from a patient this week. I wanted to be treated like a person with my own unique set of person. I thought it was funny. Anyway, so yeah, we got to treat people like people, you know, and then worry about the patient stuff. So other things that I learned from Sam's Club is that hard work is rewarded. Gosh. Yeah, you know, in some cases it is, and in other cases, and I've mentioned this before, in other cases you get paid based off of time served. Whether or not you're a great employee or a horrible employee, you're still going to get paid based off of time served. And I learned that at the other hospital system that I was in. You know, time served, you know, it's like marking, you know, you're in jail and you're marking on the wall how many years you've been in, how many days you've been in, and you get paid for time served. Not necessarily because you've done great things for the patient or you've excelled in your profession, but, you know, time served. But at Sam's Club, hard work was rewarded. I was given many merit raises during my first 3 years at the store. In 2003, I was the best employee out of 200 employees. Ooh, pat myself on the back. This is not subjective on my part, but I was awarded the Employee of the Year award. Yeah, David Tanner. Thanks a lot, bro. Gosh, David Tanner pushed my buttons before he told me that he nominated me for Employee of the Year. So check it out. At the time, I was working in the Tire and Battery Center out there at Sam's Club. And David was just asking me to do dumb stuff, right? Just dumb. And, you know, I mean, who I am now is a lot different from who I was then. You know, I mean, I was a severe rule follower. The boss tells you to jump, you jump how high? You know, the boss tells you to do something, you just get it done, right? That's just how I was raised. And now that I'm a little older, you know, I'd probably give him a little bit of grief. I'd still do the job because that's the job, right? That's what you get paid for. But I'd probably give a little bit of grief. I didn't give any grief back then. And he just asked me to do dumb stuff. Just dumb. Reorganize the tires based off of size in the steel racks and change them. Instead of going smallest to largest, go largest to smallest, which means you're essentially taking down all the tires in the racks and re-putting them back up. Mind you, there were people still working in the tire department, just kind of standing around watching me, and none of them helped. And so he just had me do dumb stuff, right? And then at the end of the day, you know, I went up there. I'm like, I got everything done. And he says, you know, not everybody would have done that because it was just dumb, but it's what he wanted. Whatever. He's signing my checks. And so then he says, look, and you've been nominated as Employee of the Year, and just shows that, you know, you earned it, and, you know, you're a hardworking individual. And I'm like, that's awesome, dude. And it was at that time that I knew I had to quit, right? And so this is another thing I learned about myself while working at Sam's Club. You know, I have a drive to, I have a chip on my shoulder, right? To just get better and show my value and to be worth it, you know? And once I reached the top of a certain position, you know, it was time for me to try something new and, try something, see if I could be better at something, right? And I did that in business, and I did that working at the hospital system, and I'm still trying to do that now, still trying to prove myself after all these years. Okay, next quote. More than 30,000 physical therapy jobs that will go unfilled in 2016. It is difficult to understand why a practice owner wouldn't make the effort to appropriately care for their therapist. All right, so this is old, right? Because back then, the therapist had the leverage. There were openings, and they'd be opening for a long periods of time, right? If a job was open, it would be hard to fill because there weren't as many PTs in 2016. We have a need right now, but, you know, based off of some of the research, that need is going to be going away. So, like, the therapist is going to start losing the leverage. I'm not saying owners need to be jackasses. They should still be taking care of their employees, you know, but in a situation where, you know, when you put a position out, on Indeed or Monster or wherever these positions are being offered nowadays, It's going to be easier to fill in the next year or two. Right now, it's still kind of hard. So, you know, owners, they kind of have to cater to the PT. Back then, I said it's easier to take care of the good people that you have working for you than to find a good person in the sea of applicants, you know, that are applying to work for you. I still agree with that. You know, if you have good people, take care of your good people. If you have not so good people, figure out how to replace them with good people. That's just basics for me. Next quote, Daniel Pink in his wonderful book, Drive, The Surprising Truth About What Motivates Us, points out that people want to believe they are contributing to something meaningful. I'm going to start off with how I feel now. Back then, I would say I wholeheartedly agreed with that, you know, and now my ideals have changed a little bit. You know, now, and it's going to sound shallow and superficial, and that's all right. I don't care. Pay me, right? Pay me. I used to think that my value was in what I did for a company, and it was altruistic, and you know, what you pay me doesn't matter. I can live on what you pay me. And I can, right? I can. And I can live and have a lot more fun if you pay me more. Right? I can take care of my four kids if you pay me more. I can save money for retirement if you pay me more. I can save money for my kids' college if you pay me more. We can travel to Poland if you pay me more. So my demeanor has changed a little bit. I'm not sure if I need to be part of something meaningful as much as I need to save as much money as I can to make sure that we live in comfort and my kids are going to be taken care of. You know, we have a kid with special needs. I've mentioned that before in the podcast. And I want to make sure that her needs are taken care of long after we're gone. So pay me, right? I would almost, and I did for a while. I called myself a mercenary. Just pay me, because as long as at the end of the day I'm walking out and I'm richer than when I walked in, I'm okay with that, you know? And for a while there, I was just busting my hump and didn't matter really anything else. I was putting in long hours, driving long commute, but I was making money. Now, I don't drive as far, I'm still busting my hump, putting in hours, not as long, and I'm making money, right? It's at the end of the day, you know, we got into this profession to help people, but let's be real, we want to be paid. We're not doing it for free. And I think that's the biggest game changer for me that I've had. And that's come from other people that I've, you know, I read and surround myself with, you know, or, you know, people that I follow on Facebook, you know, Brandon Smith, his language is a little bit different than the language that I would use, but he makes great points. You know, Jared Casaza, they make great points when they start talking about finances. And it took me a long time to get there. And I think I'm there now. I'm not sure if I'm as mercenary as I should be, but I think I'm getting there, right? All right, so now I'll read what I wrote back in 2016. Let's see what changed. When I worked for Sam's Club, we had a core group of people that would go to that we would go to bat for, and that's true. We worked hard in order to make up for any shortcomings of the people that were around us. When everybody is pulling in the same directions, great things can be done. Gosh, I was just like a Hallmark card back then. I believe that. At the time I worked for Sam's Club, we were doing great things. The team we had at the Joliet Sam's Club, 8298, who's number one, the members, who's really number one. Yeah. Who's number one, 8298, who's really number one, the members. It's an inside joke. But we were doing great things there. And the friends that I made there, unbelievable. Still friends with them. Back then, 2016, I currently work with a group of people at a small community-based hospital in which we all have our niches. We are all really good at our specific specialties, and it is fun to be part of this team. And it was. That team was an all-star team that we had back then. I don't think that there was a patient who could have walked through the door who couldn't have gotten top-notch care from... They would have gotten top-notch care from all of us, but they would have gotten top-notch care that matched their needs from one of us at least, because we all had different specialties. You know, we all saw the world a little bit differently, and I don't think that there was a patient through the door that we couldn't treat. It was a great team. It was an all-star team. Okay, back to what I wrote. We didn't have the newest equipment. We had like no equipment. But we all shared a passion for patient care. You know, it is demonstrated in both our outcomes and our patient satisfaction. We are playing our part in the changes that are occurring in healthcare, which emphasize patient outcome and improving overall health status. That team was rock star. I mean, that's it. I mean, I don't want to go into specific names there, but that team was rock star. And those who worked with me at Payless Community for at least the last 3 years, I'd say last three, 4 years, we were doing great things. And I am not bashful in saying that we were doing awesome stuff. Next quote, creating strong company values and a clear mission statement are necessary to motivate and engage staff, period. More than 70% of all employees were disengaged at work. Disengaged employees tend to create drama and subtly communicate their unhappiness to patients. You know what? I'm gonna disagree with this. You have to hire the right person, right? So like getting back to the right person in the right seat, you have to hire the right person. Because I don't care how strong the company values are. I don't care how clear the mission statement is. I don't care how much we motivate and engage staff. If you have a putz on your team, that is a putz, right? You've hired a lemon. If you hired a lemon, that person's always a lemon. No matter how much you may try to go listen to my, I did a podcast a long time ago on the Big Red Bat. You know, if you're playing wiffle ball or you've ever played wiffle ball and you have that thin yellow bat, right? And it's a little harder to hit the ball. When you hit the ball, you hit the ball, right? It's a solid hit, but it's harder to hit the ball because the bat is so small. I can give a putz, a big red bat, you know, the big Bertha bat to swing with. But you know what? They still have to swing the bat. They have to be motivated in order to hit the damn ball. And so if you have a putz on your team and they're not motivated, you know what? Sometimes you look in the mirror and you say, I made a bad hire. And there was a drill that I used to use back when I was running, you know, ships and such. And, would I hire you again? And if I wouldn't hire you again, why are you still on my team? You know, and that, man, that's a strong way to look at things. But if I wouldn't hire you again, I shouldn't keep you with me. So, yeah, I'm not sure if I understand what they're trying to say, that employees are disengaged and it's the manager's job, it's the employee's or the owner's job to try to help those employees become engaged. Sometimes it's the owner's job to help show that person the door. So that's how I think now. We'll see what I said back in 2016. This correlates with the old saying, idle time will provide for the devil's handiwork. Boy, I really did like writing these Hallmark cards, huh? If we have something to do and are passionate about doing that activity, we will provide customer service. We have to be engaged more with our patients than with our cell phones or Facebook. Okay, there's a time and a place, right? So I was extremely active on my phone, even when I was in the clinic. But I was doing clinic stuff. I was doing stuff to promote the clinic. I was doing stuff to promote the profession. I was doing stuff to promote. And there is a time and a place. But, yeah, no, if you're a putz, you're a putz. Sorry for the – I'm kind of going straight to the point today. But, yeah, that's how I feel. Pink suggests that most people are innately motivated by autonomy. Essentially, his philosophy is that we should hire good people and let them do their job. Yeah, I think that's a great statement. Hire good people and let them do what they do, right? I don't know if people are innately motivated by autonomy, right? And here's where I'm going to go in PT. So 2017-ish, PT gained direct access in the state of Illinois. And there are a lot of PTs that still don't want to use direct access because they don't feel they measure up. They don't have the skills. They're not able to see that patient off the street. They want somebody to tell them what to do. And that's fine, right? Just make sure you're in the right environment for what you want. But I don't think that everybody wants autonomy. Some people still want to be told what to do. They want a protocol, right? They want to be able to show up to work and not have to think. And I get it. You know, if you're on the tail end of your career and you're just coasting and you're counting down days, counting down months, you're just trying to get by until the end, right? I mean, I get it, you know, but I personally, you know, let me come in and let me figure things out and let me take over, right? That's kind of how I am. But yeah, hire good people and let them be good. So in 2016, I said, I love this quote. The problem, though, is that not all companies hire good people. Bingo. Right. Sometimes you're going to hire a putz or a lemon. When you surround yourself with people who are going the extra mile, they push you to go the extra mile. Yes and no, you know, you're intrinsically pushed. You know, if I've got a team of rock stars around me, I want to be a rock star because I want to be top dog in the team. Right. Top dog. I was top dog at Sam's Club. We used to run that cashier. Anyway, so there used to be a cashier competition to see who could be top dog. And it would be how many items per hour can you scan? And we would do everything to pad our numbers as much as we could At least those of us who wanted to be top dog. Me and, name from the past, Thomas B. And yeah, I hope he's doing well. I think he's a teacher now. But again, great team back then. I absolutely loved working with everybody that I worked with at Sam's Club. Yeah, and so some people, you know, you can push and they'll push harder. Other people you can push and they fall over. I mean, it's just the nature of the beast now. But I would much rather play on a team with scrappers than play on a team with a bunch of superstars. Yeah, I don't agree with that anymore. I think superstars are fun to play with. Plus, if you're with superstars, sometimes you can just coast because you don't have it every day. But if you're forced to play Jordan every day, man, like if you have to be there every day at 100%, you know, some days you don't want to be at 100%. And so I don't know. I think playing around superstars is okay. My job is to make my teammate better, and their job is to make me better. And in the end, patients get better because of the team. I don't believe that anymore. I don't think I can make my teammate better. My job is to make me better. And I think when I make me better, I make my patients better. And if the therapist next to me or the person across from me is not making themselves better, well, then it sucks for that patient. And that's sad to say, but if you're a patient and you've been to XYZ therapy, ABC therapy, won't use any other acronyms for that because I might get caught. But if you've been to a therapy clinic that isn't providing top-notch service, and then you go to one that is actually treating you as a person or providing top-notch service, you see the difference. And it doesn't matter how many people are there trying to push that therapist in that XYZ, ABCA, whatever it is, clinic. It doesn't matter who's pushing that therapist. If they don't intrinsically want to get better, they don't want to get better, and it doesn't matter who's pushing. So, yeah, you want to see somebody who's good, and that holds true regardless of what profession we're talking about. You're always going to have your bell curve. You're going to have people who are awesome at the far end of the curve. You're going to have a large percentage of your people who are average, and then you're going to have people who are just putzes and lemons. Next quote. Too often we repetitively train and retrain an employee who is falling short rather than letting them go in order to preserve the overall atmosphere within the clinic. As a result, or as difficult as it is to terminate an employee, we must put the needs of the whole clinic above the negative behavior of one person. There we go. That needed to be said. I agree with that wholeheartedly now. Having run a clinic, you just got, man, sometimes you got to show people the door and just don't let it hit you on the way out. I'll take the hit on my unemployment insurance. Just, that's fine. I'll take the hit. I'll pay extra on unemployment insurance next time. If I don't have to deal with you again, don't make me hate coming to work. Yeah. So let's see what this, what I said in 2016. This is before I actually was in a position of authority or a position of having run a business and, you know, cutting paychecks. This couldn't have been said any clearer. Politics, unfortunately, cloud judgment. I said a lot without saying anything, right? Legalities cloud judgment. Dave Ramsey has said it many times over. If I wouldn't rehire that person should no longer work here. And I agree with that. And it's unfortunate, but like when you're in a position of authority, you have to be a little bit more cutthroat. I realize you have a family, you know, and you might need this job to feed your people, but I need you to show up and be productive. I need you to show up and work. I need you to show up and make the company money. And if you can't do that, I don't need you to show up anymore. It's very straightforward, right? As a therapist, when you're an employee, you want to figure out how to put yourself in the best position to make the most money. As an owner, they want to put themselves in the best position to make the most money. Those two are innately at odds, right? Unfortunately, the owner has the leverage. Unless the PT is willing to step out of that employee mindset and take an ownership mindset, and instead of taking a salary, take a pay per visit or take a percentage of what they generate or what have you, when they're willing to step out of the employee mindset and start taking ownership, the conversation might change. But until then, the owner is the one who took the risk. The owner is the one who has the overhead. The owner is the one who pays the insurance. The owner is the one with all the bills, right? And so if you ain't making money for the owner, there's the door. That's it. There's the door. Okay, so like I said, this one was from the Impact Magazine in August of 2016 by K Stamp, HR 101, The Art of Managing People. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be a manager anymore. I'm a little bit too hard-nosed now. Experience plays a part. Experience and personality. You guys have a good night. Thanks for listening.